This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your own home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Carlo Koliakovo in here from First Up. Going to try to get to some Name That Leaf trivia from the 2 years you guys played together here in Toronto. And see,
apparently that's not going to go very well. We didn't even know what year we played together.
I said 2006. And you're like, oh yeah, the year retired, 2005.
Okay, that's...
I think you played 2 years together with Toronto.
0405, 0506. No.
No. 0506, 06, 07.
Yes.
Right. But you thought you only played 1 year together.
Well, because the first year I didn't play much because I was hurt.
Okay. That could be a part of the trivia.
I laid you up. I gave you a layup there, man. Come on.
I'm not saying anything.
His injuries may be a part of the trivia. We'll see.
I was wearing a buzzer and getting buzzed too much.
I want to know how that...
Sit out this game. Like, sit out this game, too. Okay, this one, too. And this one.
Could it work in hockey in any capacity?
No.
Here's how I think it could work. Not cheating. You couldn't use it in a cheating fashion.
Okay, I want to explain one thing, and I thought this could work. You know how the quarterback has an earpiece? Connor McDavid, I'm giving you an earpiece, and this guy's open, that guy's... Would that be cheating?
That'd be way too confusing. I guess it would be cheating, but why would you want that as a player?
No, as a player, you just...
Some idiot
it's
being
an
like,
instinct game, man.
Well, it won't be an idiot.
Yeah, but it would be, because, like... Doing this, what Houston may have been doing, using electronic devices strapped to their chest that would buzz when a pitch would come, you could have some idiot just staring there being like, I know that signal. Here it is. Yeah. There's
Don't
your buzz.
You think like a former player, a guy that knows the game, like, just quickly, like...
What, Wayne Gretzky? Gretzky works for the Oilers. You think Gretzky on a headset speaking to McDavid... is a feasible option.
You think it's stupid?
I don't think it's stupid. I just don't think it works.
Like, just quickly, like there's a guy back door. There's a guy back door.
I'm trying to picture myself. If I'm playing the game, I don't want anybody talking in my ears.
It's the dumbest idea in the history.
Because there's already enough voices that are going on.
I don't think it's that dumb.
Here's where I think it might be possible, a little buzzer. This is the only example I can think of in hockey. A defenseman that is prone to pinch too often. Like he's sitting there, and the coach knows it. He can see. He's like, he's going to pinch. Zap him.
Don't pinch.
You're not pinching, dude. You just got zapped. If I zap you, you better not pinch. If you do, you're on the bench the rest of the game. That's possible.
So it's like, don't pinch. Like, don't be stupid out there, and you get...
It's simply, the buzzers work for one specific reason.
How about if you got a coach that wants to play dump and chase, and you've got a skilled guy who just doesn't want to... Dump it in.
There's another
one. And he's wearing a buzzer.
No, no.
Coach,
by the way, I would give it to fourth liners. Do not make a play at the blue line.
Freddie the Goat, if you toe drag once, you're getting zapped. If I see
like
one
any
toe
kind
drag.
Of skill move in the neutral zone or your own end,
yeah.
Like a triple zap.
Attempted backhand sauce, Freddie the Goat.
But you got to do it in a way where the more egregious of a saucer pass or dangle, it's worse. Like it's...
Well, think about it. Coaches can't yell at players anymore. So it's like, all right, zap them. Zapped.
Right. Fire up the Dr. Hose zapper.
And if it's a real bad toe drag that ends up in your net, just like in it hurts.
Just keep it going. Your finger's on the button, not coming off.
I want to see it. I want to see
it
happen.
It's a triple zap.
Yeah. You just zap him until he turns. You can see his skull. Like, he's just. Like, remember Marv in Home Alone 2 when he just gets electrocuted? He turns into a skull,
skeleton.
Or he's a skeleton. Exactly. You're getting zapped. And you turn into a skeleton.
Way, that's where I think, like, the earpiece would be helpful. It's like, just go to the locker room. You're done.
You're done.
If you have the egregious toe drag in the neutral zone and it ends up in your net, can I speak to you inside the room? You're done.
You know what I'd like to know? because, like, I want to know so much more about this Houston Astros cheating scandal. What were they doing? Were they using electronic devices? And there's a lot of smoke online that would suggest that may have been happening with guys like Altuve and Bregman. Not plugs, not 8-9 hitters. We're talking future Hall of Famers here. But what if they're up? You're playing Baltimore. You're up 12-0 in the ninth. Wouldn't you screw with them? Like, wouldn't you be like, watch this. I'm going to buzz him and watch. He's going to swing for the fences thinking a curveball's coming.
Yeah, and he looks like Serrano.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you'd have to mess with him. Like, at some point, it is like a frat house in there. You're like, I'm goofing on this guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's connected.
Let me ask you this. If you're Altuve and your agent called you and said, how do you want to handle this, what are you saying? Because we talked about it in the break. Jason Giambi, he got ahead of it. And he's like, you know what? I use steroids. And it was dealt with, and everybody, like, forgave him.
Mm-hmm. A-Rod, too. A-Rod came out and said, I use steroids.
But then he did it again, and then A-Rod is a bad example. But
yeah, A-Rod
Andy Pettit did. Remember Pettit?
Yeah, Pettit.
You got me, man.
And nobody talks about it anymore.
Nobody cares about Andy Pettit. Giambi and Pettit were right in there doing it. And you're right. They came front and just said, you got me, man. But I don't know. I guess if you're Altuve, maybe you're talking to your agent and saying, I pay you for this.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think I should do? How do we get in front of this if there is anything here, if there really is a smoking gun?
Well, you know, think about it. I'm getting pictures sent to me of people in still frames circling, like, little mysterious pieces of uniform that are sitting on top of his shoulder. There's people sending me about...
It's only going to get worse,
too. Yeah, it's only going to get worse. To get in front of it. Like, even the pitch against Chapman, the one he hit out... Normally, most hitters sit at the back of the batter's box. There's a picture here of him standing right at the top of the batter's box, waiting for that slider to come.
Don't you think the most damning evidence is when he rounds third?
Yeah, and he's telling him not to rip off my shirt?
That, to me, is the worst. He's like, don't touch my jersey.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
Yeah, like, basically, he was shirt on in the pool guy, and his buddies were like, we're getting that shirt.
Yeah.
We're getting that shirt, and he said, "Do not."
I don't know why you had to refer it as shirt on in the pool, guy.
Well, none of us have done that.
I don't know anybody that would ever do that.
Tarp,
no one.
Tarp guy.
No one would wear a shirt in the pool. Do you know of anybody that would do that?
I did it one time because I was sunburnt, and I love your comments. Because the guy posted the pic, and you're like, both of you were like, that's him for sure.
Well, the best part about it is you were denying it. You were denying that it wasn't you.
Well, it's not exactly the most flattering thing to comment on. I have my shirt on in a pool. Like,
yeah. Well, you're Altuve. You didn't want anyone to take that shirt off.
Nobody could ever touch that shirt.
Do not touch my shirt in the pool.
Anyone.
Right.
But speaking of Brian, the only thing like you can compare hockey cheating to is an illegal curve.
Yeah.
Remember guys would
but
have like...
But that's like a cork bat,
but you're
right?
Allowed to have whatever curve you want now. There's
really?
Now
you can, I believe.
I didn't know that.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. What's up, Ray?
Just walking over to the rink. Is Carlo working a double today?
I am, buddy.
Oh, you're grinding it out.
He doesn't even know that there's an illegal curve rule that's no longer in place.
Well, the guy's been up since 4 this morning. Give him a break.
Cut me some slack, man.
Okay.
Thanks, Ray.
You know, I either that or you need a new agent. Something's going on here.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about this baseball scandal, and I'm sure you've seen the latest where, you know, maybe they were wearing a
Dr.
Ho Zapper. Yeah, go ahead.
Ray, do you think it would be stupid? We're talking about, like, things you could do in hockey. If you were quarterbacking the power play, would you want, like, an earpiece where a coach, like, in the press box would be like, okay, the guy down low is open, like,
or not do you think that... Not a chance.
So that's stupid.
Wouldn't that be annoying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me it would be.
I guess so. I'd like it.
Just think, by the time the guy's talking to you, now you're listening, you look up and somebody runs you over, and you're like, oh, I guess I shouldn't have been listening.
Or the guy's recommending you look at the guy back door, and you turn the puck over, and next thing you're skating to the bench, just losing it on the guy who's told
you to do
that.
I like how you guys are like, oh, you're going to be looking up at the guy. I don't think that's the idea.
Okay.
Looking up into the press box. Hey, buddy.
Here's a reasonable possibility. It's never going to happen. It's so stupid to even suggest. But here is a reasonable possibility. If it ever got to that point where someone goes, all right, I got a headpiece on. You're up in the sky. You tell me what's going on. The guy up in the sky forgets to turn the mic off.
Oh.
And while he's on a shift, the guy's talking the whole time to his buddy.
And you're on the ice. You're like, what's going on?
Like, shut up.
Yeah. You know a good Italian place around here?
Hey,
imagine being on a 2-on-1 and the guy pipes in. Is there any good Italian around here? You would go crazy.
We were in New York one night, and I'm playing for the Kings, and we're getting our tails kicked. And about midway through the third period, our assistant coach, Jay Leach, just starts howling behind the bench. And I hear him say, yeah, I got a mess down here, too. And I'm like, I wonder what he's talking about, right? So after the game, somehow the channels got mixed up, and he got onto MSG's maintenance channel. And some guy was saying in his earpiece, hey, I got a hell of a mess up on 7 here. We got to get... and Jay said, yeah, I got a mess down here, too. Send the guy down here next.
Imagine being on like a 3-on-2, like odd man rush, and all you hear is, my tummy hurts. That would be awful.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential material.
Feel like sushi tonight. Any interest?
Is there ketchup
what?
On that?
Is there ketchup on that? Yeah. Yeah. So I don't think that's ever going to be implemented in the NHL. But I think the whole buzzer idea, I brought up the idea of...
I can't stop laughing.
Maybe you strap it on a defenseman that is prone to pinch. Like, that's the only thing I can think of is the coach has access to the electronic device and just buzzes the guy when he knows he's gonna pinch. Like, don't do it. I'll hit you with the buzzer every time I see you going.
Or he's just looking up the middle of the ice and he's about to throw a pizza and you just get zinged like this. Don't do it.
Don't think of it.
Yeah, there is no application in hockey. As much as guys are looking for the extra inch, I mean, there's nothing that fits like it could in baseball, is there?
No, I don't think so. It's the perfect sport for it.
I agree.
Right? You're just chilling. And
what I don't get, though, is like eventually whoever it was going to be was going to leave the Astros in, you know, and not be happy about it. Like somebody was going to get traded or released. And how did they think that this wasn't ever going to be found out?
Well, it's exactly what happened. Mike fires. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like, I mean, like, eventually, wasn't this kind of inevitable that, like, I don't know. I mean, like, why are they allowed TVs in the dugout anyway?
Well,
like, it doesn't that
exactly
seem like an easy fix? Like, yep. No, you can't. If somebody steals a sign standing out on second base, that's been going on for 150 mm-hmm. years, and good for them. But this is crazy stuff.
Yeah, I guess when you're so reckless, man, it happens, and then you look back on it, and you're like, I can't believe it. It felt so easy, and it was happening, and you just assume that it's the old boys' club code. No one's going to say anything. Well, someone said something, and now you're really dealing with it. The Leafs in action tonight. You're calling that game down at Scotiabank, Calgary in town, and we were discussing Matthew Tkachuk, who McDavid was here a couple weeks ago, week and a half ago, and when he was here, there was a big buzz, and I would argue he's the number one ticket in town. He's only here once. Tkachuk is only here once. I'm not sure he's that far behind, right, because of who he is, because of the name he's made for himself, the way he plays. I'm excited to see what he's got tonight.
I don't know. He's not a sideshow. But there's always lots of stuff that goes on around him, right? Like he plays it with kind of like one foot on the stir stick. It's always something with him. And the fact that he's really good creates another level of it. But those players are always going to attract attention, aren't they? Like, you know, sports are made for good guys and bad guys. And if Matthew Tkachuk plays on whatever is the other team from who you're cheering for, he's the bad guy. He's easy to cheer against. And sports have been like that for a long time. I mean, like I'm a Red Sox fan, and growing up, anybody that wore the Yankee uniform, they were the bad guy. Even if they were a good guy, they were the bad guy.
You're the bad guy now, buddy.
Yeah, I'm well aware of what's going on.
You're the bad guy now.
Yeah, it's no good. It's no good.
Well, Ray, I was asking these guys, if you were like a guy like Altuve, what would you do right now? Would you just like get ahead of this and say, I did that stuff? Or are you playing the deny game? How would you handle it?
Wow. I mean... I don't even know. Like if you're caught and the evidence is that you're caught and they've got it, like what else can you do? If you think that they don't have it or you didn't do it, then you've got to deny it, I guess. I mean, if he was doing it, man, like if he's got that thing tapping on his shoulder and it's out and it's in the report, then you only really have one option. That's it, right? Like you're going to have to try and get out in front of it. If it's in the report, it's coming out. Although I would say, look at what the guys did with the PED stuff. They just, like, they were up there in Congress and they all said they didn't do it. And they weren't they all in the report?
Yeah, exactly.
And they're like, no, I didn't do it. And I mean, it was Rafael Palmeiro, if I remember right, that was pointing at the congressman and like vehemently denying it. And then it comes out, he's all over the report.
Yeah, he misremembered.
Yeah, it was him.
Favorite line of all time. I misremember.
Well, speaking of bad guys, and there's always got to be a good guy, always got to be a bad guy. It sets up beautifully in the sports world. I'm not sure what Peter DeBoer is in Vegas, because he was the bad guy for 2 years. And I have been pretty surprised by the candor of the players today. Like Mark Stone, Nate Schmidt, I believe, Ryan Reeves, who are like, basically, I don't like the guy, but now I have to like the guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of how
Schmidt's comments were somewhat, he's like, I'm completely shocked by this. And for a player to say that, that's crazy.
Right.
Ryan Reeves had a beef with Pete DeBoer. Yeah. Like, they were going at each other in the media
right
last year.
It's a crazy transition. Like, the firing in and of itself was crazy. And that was yesterday's conversation. Now today, it's like, Peter DeBoer is hated in Vegas. Despised.
Yeah.
And he's their coach.
Not anymore.
Now.
Yeah, it's beyond odd. What I'm, as I read around today, I don't know if you guys found this weird, is that, he was in Florida, obviously taking some time off, and he gets a phone call. You want to coach? Boom. He's in, he's trying to get to Ottawa. He doesn't have a suit. He's like, it's not like they'd been in conversations for 2 weeks about this. Like, I find that really odd that, a coach can be changed and the guy you hire, you've only talked to a couple of times. Like,
yeah.
I because in the summer, if you're hiring a coach, he comes in, he does an interview, he goes away, you probably bring him in for a second interview, if he's one of the finalists. But this is like, it sounds like you had two conversations on the phone, and the second one is about, can we get the contract done? Like, well, I found that really strange.
Well, there's two examples of that this year with Hines doing it in
right.
Nashville. You got DeBoer. You got to think that Gerard Gallant's going to end up somewhere before the year ends, no?
Well, if I were a team that wasn't going very well and I'm the coach, I'd be looking around my feet to see if there's a saw there. Like if anybody's cutting the floor out from under me, because he's going to be a coach, whether it's now or in June, he's hired again fast. Right? Like there's no way that with his record and his success that he's not going to be unemployed for very long. I'm with you. That's a done deal. It's just, where does he want to go?
I don't know the answer, and I'm not being a smartass, but does Gerard Gallant speak French?
That's the first thing that crossed my mind yesterday.
Because
he was an assistant coach there in Montreal.
Right.
Before he got the head coach in Florida.
That's, like, you got to think Claude Julien, he's not an idiot. Like he's,
are you laughing at the honks?
Oh, there's just weird. Like there's a horn. There's an air guitar.
No, no, that was. Some guy was playing had his drums set up. That was a half a block ago. This was a car that I'm right by the train station now.
I was going to ask you if you're playing Guitar Hero.
And some guy just went flying down under the underpass to get 8 feet up into the traffic up there. So he won that race.
Yeah, smooth.
It was really impressive. I don't know if he speaks French. I do know he's longtime really good friends with Steve Yzerman.
There's a layup right there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, there's a couple of places that you could build a case pretty easily. If you're Seattle, are you thinking about a guy that took an expansion team to a Stanley Cup final the first year?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me.
I don't even know if he would want that job. Like, would he want to be like a sideshow coach where it's like...
It's like you're typecast.
Yeah,
like that's what your role is now. You're just the expansion,
you're the expansion guy. I don't even know if he would want that gig.
Yeah, I never thought of that. I mean, because it's going to be impossible to replicate what Vegas did.
No kidding. And you're just set up for failure because it's like if you don't go to the finals in your first year, then you're a failure.
Have you ever seen a coach in the league to get fired from having so much success? Like, just think about the way Gerard Gallant exited in Florida. Coach of the year. The next year, he's on a curb in Carolina, calling a cab, getting fired. In Vegas, he's had two successful seasons. He's horns. Oh, my God. What are you doing, Ray?
Where are you right now?
Guys, I'm right by the rink. Would you like me to... Here goes another guy. Do you want me to tell him to go by a little quieter?
It's just funny. Have you ever seen a coach have this much bad luck for being so successful?
I agree. It's nuts.
I wonder what he's supposed to do next. Like, how are you supposed to be better? Like, how are you going to have more success? It's a crazy thing, but I'll tell you, he's going to end up with a contract with six zeros behind a pretty good number at the front of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can lay on a horn and guarantee that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's happening. All right, buddy. Have a good one tonight. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
Talk to you then, guys. See ya. Carlo, get some sleep tonight.
Will do, buddy.
There's Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They will pay your holiday bills up to $1,000 when you lease or finance a new in-stock vehicle in January. Visit MapleToyota.com. Jack Armstrong on a big Raptor win last night. They're healthy. They look good. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. We'll get into this Odell Beckham Jr. story and what's up with him after the national title game on Monday night. And can't confirm or deny, but maybe some Name That Leaf trivia pitting the two of you against each other when you played on the same team.
Yeah, I don't like either of our chances. But
wager? I know you like to wager.
I love to wager.
You get a call a friend, I get a call a friend. So you get Al's brother, I'll get the grapple.
How about we just do this? 500, whoever wins.
A little steep.
Let's just relax here.
20 spot or something.
We're relying on the grappler to put the questions together. I mean, let's see where we're at.
All right. That's an old school hockey wager. We're grown men.
We'll talk, okay? You guys can talk. I'll be included. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, Trey Wingo of ESPN will join us in about 35 minutes. Big weekend in the NFL. Big, big weekend. Packers at the Niners. I can't confirm or deny that I'm going to the game.
I was
going to
ask you.
I can't confirm or deny. Going to the game. I'm looking forward to it. I will have more on that tomorrow and full details Monday.
Are you going
to
show up in like a Rodgers jersey and a cheese head?
Yeah, the cheese head. You got to have the cheese head.
I don't have one, man.
Amazon. Go on Amazon. It'll be there. Amazon Prime. It'll be there tomorrow if you order it today.
No, by the time he gets home.
Today, yeah, if you order it.
I'm not going through customs with a cheese head. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm.
Wear it.
Do you know how quickly you'd get put on a list?
Yeah.
Like, no full cavity search. If you walk through customs with a cheese head on, you deserve a cavity search.
I agree.
Like, you're just asking for trouble. So, Trey Wingo will join us in about 35 minutes. Ask him about Odell Beckham Jr. as well, who there's video out there. It's not even like he can deny it. Mm-hmm. He was in the winning locker room on Monday night. LSU wins the national title. He's an alumni. He was there. He's in there partying with the guys. Okay. That happens. You know, a lot of former players come back. Had to be about him with the money. He's handing money.
He's making it rain.
Right.
With cash.
I'm a Guelph Storm alumni. I didn't go in their locker room when they won and start.
Are you going to do that if the Leafs win the cup?
Well, if they ever did that, I would. I would do that.
You'd be go pop some bottles, but you would make it rain with dollar bills.
Well, they should be making it rain to me.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And those are pros. You know, these are younger guys. Some of them are still dealing
with the
NCAA.
Like, you can't do that.
Yeah, and then so they were smoking, some of the players, a bunch of them, and Joe Burrow was doing it. We all saw it. A lot of the players were smoking, like, cigars and stuff. Thing is, the Superdome, you're not allowed to smoke in there, all right? So you're not allowed to smoke within the Superdome. So there was a police officer, I guess, walking around. And I know a lot of people are like, why is he in there looking for trouble or whatever? Why not leave him alone? I get it. If you're a player and you just win, you'd like to celebrate, but the rules are the rules. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you. It's not overly complicated. And if he was sent in there to be like, tell him to stop smoking, and he went in there to tell him to stop smoking, I don't know what else he was saying or what else he was looking for. And then Odell Beckham Jr. spanks him, like slaps him in the ass, and then taunts him when the guy turns around. And now there's an arrest warrant out for Odell Beckham Jr., which... Again, how stupid! Like, who doesn't know you don't touch a cop ever? Like, imagine
unless he's your buddy.
Even if he is, though,
my
and he's
brother's
in uniform,
a cop. I would not spank his ass.
If he's in uniform,
he's
in public,
my brother. Yeah. I would not spank his ass.
I know. I can't believe how stupid he is. Like, that's so
dumb.
The
thing that's bizarre to me is LSU played a home game in Louisiana, in New Orleans. You would think that the cops would be a little bit more lenient in the room to let these guys celebrate.
I hear you.
Yeah, it's one of those things. You win the championship, you could smoke a cigar.
Yeah, you're in your room. You're in your dressing. It's not like you're out in public or out in the gondola or out in the field.
Common sense would suggest that, like, just take it easy. Yeah. But I'm sure the stickler would be like, it's the rules. Yeah. Right? Like, you can't smoke in Scotiabank. Like, you're not allowed to smoke in the building.
Yeah. Take but it outside. All you do is say, okay, we won't smoke. And then he leaves, and then you just do whatever you got to do.
Right. Anyway, so we'll catch up with Trey Wingo later in the afternoon. The Raptors with a big win last night. It got a bit dicey there at the end. Here's our TSN Raptors analyst, Jack Armstrong. What's up, Jack?
Gentlemen, how we doing?
Oh, we're doing well. I mean, the Raptors are healthy, and they looked healthy for the majority of the game last night. And I would say they survived the injuries. That's probably putting it lightly. How much credit do they deserve to be in the position they're currently in?
Well, you know, after 40 games, what are they, 26 and 14 right now? They were 28 and 12 a year ago. So they're two games behind where they were a year ago with Kawhi Leonard, with Danny Green, and overwhelmingly healthy team a year ago. So to me, that's quite an accomplishment to be where they are right now. And that just jumps off the page at me. And you consider the fact, we were chatting about this last night on the Charter on the way back. You know, you think about it. Kicked away a game in the last few minutes against Oklahoma City at home. With 2 minutes left at Indiana and missed four free throws in the last few minutes. Lost in overtime. You know, give away a game in the last minute to Portland at home. Give away a game in the last few minutes to San Antonio at home. Let's just say you have two of those out of four. Let's say you get three of them. I mean, you could have, should have won all of them. I mean, theoretically, you could be better in a better position than last year's team was, which is bizarre. But my point is they're right there. And last night, you know, there were some ball protection issues in the second half, and some of that I attribute to not having Fred VanVleet, because he's a sound, sturdy war general who's not going to make some of those mistakes. And he's a tremendous ball handler, primary or secondary ball handler, to complement whoever you have. So I think you probably win a few more of those games, and you're sounder. You're more fundamentally in tune to close games out. Are they a surefire championship team? No, I mean they have a lot of areas that need to improve internally right now, and maybe there's an external move between now and February 6th. But to this point, after 40 games, and tomorrow night after they play Washington is the official midway point of the season, I kind of like what I'm watching.
Well, and Nick Nurse brought up, I think, a valid point that they're not in great shape because of the injuries. And VanVleet isn't even playing, as you pointed out. But how could you expect Gasol to be in great shape, even though he played well last night? Siakam and Powell and others, even Kyle. Like, Lowry had the shortest offseason of his career. He had surgery during that offseason. Missed a bunch of time with an injury himself. I mean, that's an ingredient here that probably has to be taken into consideration. You give him another 3 months to get in shape, that's probably going to improve their possibilities of winning come the spring.
Oh, I mean, closing games is a big deal. And the 24-second shot clock is a great equalizer. Possessions are coming at you rapid fire. And 48 minutes is a long game. And when you have a team that's margin of error is so slim, and you outplay people for 43, 44, 45 minutes, and yet in minute 46, the defining moment comes, and you just don't have enough ammo. You know, they got the real ammo, and you got water pistols. It's a big issue. And to me, I think they've kind of mixed and matched and bluffed their way and grinded and hustled their way through all this, and I think they've done a remarkable job so far.
Jack, last night was, you said, their 40th game, but it was their whole season, they've only played six games with the full complement of their lineup. Last night, we saw Marc Gasol come back, and to me, it was the freshest I've ever seen Marc Gasol play as a Toronto Raptor. Do you agree with that?
Totally agree with you. I mean, he had that little pep in his step. He had that mojo, that juice. Watching him in training camp and early part of the season, he looked like an exhausted guy. I mean, this guy not only played, went to the NBA Finals and all that, and as we know, won a world championship with his national team in Spain. But then you add up all the years he's played competition internationally, there's a lot of wear and tear on a guy. And I think he just needed to go, all right, let me catch a breath here for a second. And to me, he was great. He was hunting down his offensive opportunities. He was efficient. He got better as the game went on. He's such a tremendous piece of the puzzle for their team in terms of the defensive integrity and how they play and how intelligent he is. And he's a great traffic cop and stout defender. And offensively, he's a wonderful screen setter. A great passer, and he's a crafty player offensively in terms of his face-up game, and he can score in the post when he's fresh. And last night, I liked his approach in the post. He got deep post position, took the ball aggressively, and again, had his legs under him.
Well, that begs the question, should there be some kind of load management? Once you secure a playoff spot, don't you go to guys and say, we've had this discussion, what's more important? Guys that are rested, they come back and they play way better.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Go to the older guys and say, what do you need? Do you want a break? Or I would do that with all the older guys.
It's interesting you say that. The one thing is teams, whether it be the Raptors or a lot of NBA teams, NHL teams, I mean, a lot of NBA teams have gotten rid of the morning shoot-around, not doing it as much, occasionally on the road, very little at home. Just like the morning skate. I mean, some teams are dialing that stuff back. These guys train year round. And I think there comes a point where, I'll never forget when I was a young coach at Niagara and the Buffalo Bills were in their heyday. I developed a great relationship with Bill Polian and Marv Levy. And Marv Levy used to be a guy, and they lost a few Super Bowls to Jimmy Johnson and the Cowboys. And he was a guy, Jimmy Johnson, that have them in pads and they'd be taking each other's heads off. And Marv was the opposite. His thing was competitive energy is the most important thing. I'm not wasting you on Wednesday taking a guy's head off. I want you ready at 1:05 on a Sunday afternoon to go after it. So I think teams have gotten better in terms of saying, hey, you know what? You guys both know you play at the highest level possible. And, you don't want to waste it at the morning skate. You want it at 7:05 when the puck drops, that you're flying around the building and you're finishing checks and the same thing where you're finishing your blockouts and you're winning 50-50 battles on the glass because you have that pop and explosiveness. So I think that's something they'll definitely keep an eye on as they go along. On the other hand, with respect to the conference they're in right now, the East, you look at the six-team race. Now, theoretically, it's more of a five-team race. Milwaukee's fabulous. The other five teams, I mean, it is dramatically nip and tuck. And seeding is going to matter. And so you kind of have to balance both.
Enjoy it tomorrow night, Jack. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you, buddy.
Guys, my pleasure. Have a great night.
Jack Armstrong, our TSN Raptors analyst.
I'll never forget one of my assistant coaches, I'm not going to name names, screamed at me in the morning skate, go to the net. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Don't you like, just? Why would I want to go to the net hard in the morning skate? Like,
I hate
it. The game tonight is what I care about. I don't really care about.
I hated playing for coaches, and I played for a bunch of them that would use morning skate as a practice.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, I don't need to be yelled at 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. I'm here to break a sweat, you know, break out the kinks, feel good about myself, get a sweat on, and get myself ready for the game. I don't need you barking in my ear.
No kidding.
That's why I hate it.
I didn't even want to be there. I would just say, well, what are we even doing here? There's nothing being accomplished today.
All right, name that leaf between two leaves.
We're doing it.
We're doing it next.
Did you go back there and look at all the questions? You cheated.
No cheating. It's all good. All right, we'll get to that next. All right, Trey Wingo of ESPN in about 20 minutes. Maple Leafs in action tonight, Calgary in town. You can watch that game on TSN4. We'll tee it up throughout the afternoon. Championship weekend in the NFL. The Houston Astros right in the middle of one of the bigger cheating scandals in pro sports history. But let's get to the real stuff. Name that leaf, pitting two former Maple Leafs against each other.
Good luck.
So these are all guys that were on one of those two teams.
Okay.
You played with each other for 2 years here in Toronto in the mid-2000s. And
fire it up. Carlo can go first.
Carlo can go first. So, Carlo, if you get it right, you get a point. If you miss, oh, you can steal that, and then you're back on the clock, okay?
Got it.
How long do I have to answer the question? Five, 10
Let's
seconds.
Be relatively quick here. Yeah, we're on radio. This former Maple Leaf is currently the radio color commentator for the Nashville Predators.
Hal Gill.
Having Correct. The time of his life.
Oh, Doug, this former Maple Leaf was born in Cornwall, Ontario.
Doug Gilmore.
Was he on your team that year?
We have to play with them.
Chad Kilger. Sorry, I didn't know that. Give me the thing.
You the real MVP.
We'll give you Chad Kilger, but I thought Dougie was from Kingston.
Yeah, he is. That was a dumb answer.
Doug Gilmore's. Yeah,
just
okay.
Delete
anyway.
That from
Chad Kilger.
Your damn
Chad
act Kilger. Yeah.
You got it. But, okay, do you understand this? They played with you as a Maple Leaf.
Those two seasons.
If you say Tim Horton, I'm going to kick you out of the studio. Turk Baroda. All right, here we go. This former Leaf was a member of the 2007 Canadian Spengler Cup team.
Jeez. 2000 Ian White?
Oh. No guy.
Oh, for a steal?
2007?
2007 Canadian Spengler Cup team. I'm relying on the grappler, Mullen, Al's brother.
Can I take one more shot?
No.
Yeah, you can. You can.
But it's... Are you
Does
done
it
with
count?
Your answer?
It counts.
Go ahead.
It counts?
Yeah, go ahead.
Boy Devereaux?
No. You should
no
lose
guy.
Points. Okay, you
I
gotta
have no
give
idea.
Someone.
No.
Name someone that played on the team. You might as well.
Oh, I know this.
Name anyone that you played with. You might as well.
Sebastian Aubin.
No.
Brendan You're Bell. A moron.
Travis Green. Travis
Greeny?
Green.
Played
you
for
the
Spengler
play the moron
Cup.
Thing.
No, play that.
You're a moron.
All right. Who's on the clock here? Is it, it's O, right?
Yeah. Go ahead.
This former Maple Leaf has an older brother who also played in the NHL. In addition, their father played international hockey at a pro level.
An older brother? Him?
My brother didn't play in the NHL.
Oh, you're...
Dude, were you on the team? Like, I know Hockey DB.
Say that again.
This four? Are you? Is that your answer, Carlo?
I have no idea. That's the dumbest question I've ever been asked in my life.
Okay, such an idiot here.
This question former again? Leaf has an older brother who also played in the NHL. In addition, their father played international hockey at a pro level.
Do you know this?
No.
Are you guys both saying
Hold
no?
on, older brother. Who did we play with that had an older brother?
Dude, we didn't. Like, just tell us. Like, no
Are you
one
both
gets
answering
Bates Battaglia?
This guy's such an idiot here.
Thomas Cabrillet. Frankie Cabrillet.
Frankie! Get your damn act together.
You guys,
his dad was I'm the up, best.
What is it? 2-1 for me?
No, you didn't get that right.
No. I got the first one right.
Oh, okay, it's his turn. Go ahead.
Is it 2-1, Carlo?
Yes.
I'm lost. Like, this
2-1
is,
for me.
Okay, you're on the clock, Carlo. Okay, this former Leaf represented Canada at the NHL World Juniors, winning a gold medal in 95.
Brian McCabe.
It's me.
No guy.
But the thing is...
He was also
it was
on that.
Tucker was on the team, too. Like, Grabs. He wrote, it was supposed to be, but you can't take a point away. He's not wrong.
He didn't get the right guy, though. You got to take it away.
Come on, seriously? You can say one of three guys.
Yeah, McCabe and Tucker, I should have known that when I read it.
Go ahead. Give me the heater.
I think we disqualify that question. Don't you think?
Ask him another one, okay?
This one's for Carlo here. This former Leaf officially became a Canadian citizen following the 06-07 season during a ceremony in Etobicoke.
Oh. Became a Canadian citizen?
You guys are
Thomas Cabrillet?
Wrong.
So supportive of your teammates. Alex Ponikarovsky.
Pony.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Oh, you're on the clock here.
Go ahead.
This former Leaf, who played with you during those two seasons
in
Toronto.
I understand that.
Finished his NHL career as a member of the Buffalo Sabres.
Oof. Finished his career with the
his
Buffalo
Sabres? His NHL career as a Buffalo Sabre.
I honestly can't think of one guy that I played with that played in Buffalo.
He's such an idiot here.
Hello?
It's him. But I don't even think... Carlo is the answer. Carlo Koliakovo. The guy.
Everyone in this room
I don't
is
ever
now
want
dumber.
To this segment
having
again.
Listened
honestly,
to it.
I'm never doing that again.
I think Carlo just has to win here. But do we have time for a couple more? We might as well
Go
keep
ahead.
This going. This four. Are you ready, Carlo?
Yes.
Are you on the clock? Yeah, I guess so, right? No.
Give me a staging question.
No, here we go. Okay. This former Leaf won a gold medal for Team Canada at both the World Juniors and the Olympics.
Brian McCabe.
Wrong.
He did.
McCabe didn't win he was on the 06 Canada team, right? They didn't win.
Oh, man.
Mike Pekka. Pekka was on in 02, right? Yeah, Pekka was there for like 38 games with you guys.
These are tough. Give me one more before I go.
Okay.
go ahead.
This former Leaf is the fourth fastest player in NHL history to score 300 points. Fourth fastest in NHL history to hit 300.
Matt Sundin?
You're a moron!
Fourth fastest to score 300.
To get to 300. Following Gretzky, Lemieux, and Peter Stastny. He was fourth.
McGillney?
You're a moron!
We were on our team, you idiot!
Eric Lindros.
Oh, what?
Big E.
We butchered.
I'm embarrassed.
You should not have alumni jackets. You should be out of the Alumni Association.
I'm actually embarrassed.
Like the Big E.
I won, though. Send the 500.
Yeah, you'll get it tomorrow.
Wow. Like, there's a couple.
You would have done better than us.
Would you have got those?
I think so.
Eric Lindros, the Big E.
Lindros is a tough one, but when you think of NHL history, like there's a couple of that.
No one else on the team was any good to have that. Like we should have known it was him.
I might have said Mats. Like Mats was first overall great.
That
player.
Was what I guessed.
But like there were a couple that I decided not to use because I'm like it's too easy. And now that I think about it,
they weren't. Give me one more easy one and see if I can get it.
This former Leaf spent his career wearing a mask with an eagle on it.
Oh, come on.
Are you being serious?
That's legitimately a question.
His nickname is Eddie the Eagle.
All right,
yes, God.
Let me try to boost
That's pathetic. You had to go to that level to
This get... former Maple Leafs son currently plays in the NHL.
Nick.
What? Former Maple Leafs son. Alex Steen.
This guy's such an idiot here.
Ty Domi. Max Domi's in the lead right now. Alex Steen is still playing.
That's the worst answer of all time.
Like honestly,
I thought of his dad, Thomas Steen, Alex Steen. I hear
everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
bottle this stupidity.
Would you have gotten that one, Ty Domi? Like,
no, you would. You didn't.
You didn't know it.
You had no idea.
No.
All right.
Nobody wins.
Hey, CEO. Great segment, man.
Good stuff, guys.
Great segment.
Both of you should great have job. Your alumni status rescinded.
Butcher job. Yeah.
Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
This hour has been brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.